Welcome to the Mental Minute, an AI-generated podcast.
Today we're looking into a really interesting cognitive bias.
That's right. We're digging into a Wikipedia article that summarizes the research on something called the false uniqueness effect.
Ah, yes. It's basically a kind of self-flattery, isn't it?
How so?
Well, if you've ever felt, you know, really sure that you're more ethical or maybe more skilled at something than the average Joe, then you've probably experienced this bias yourself.
Okay, let's define it a bit more clearly then. The false uniqueness effect. It's this tendency people have to see their own positive qualities.
Their desirable traits.
Right, their desirable attributes as being, well, rare or unique.
Even when statistically they're actually quite common.
We tell ourselves our good bits are special.
Exactly. And studies show this all the time. Take driving, for instance.
Okay.
Almost everyone thinks they are a safer, better driver. Less risky than the average person out there.
Right, I've heard that one.
Or group projects. People often rate their own effort way higher than they rate their peers' contributions.
So they feel uniquely hardworking in that group.
Precisely.
And this is interesting because it's kind of the opposite of another bias, right? The false consensus effect.
That's a key point from the research, yes. They're like two sides of the same self-esteem coin.
How do you mean?
Well, false consensus is often about justifying maybe less desirable behavior. Like, oh, everyone bends the rules a bit. It makes us feel normal.
Okay.
But false uniqueness, that's reserved specifically for the good stuff, the desirable traits. It's about feeling better than normal, special.
So it's really about protecting our self-image.
Fundamentally, yes. Both are tied to self-esteem. False uniqueness feeds into what psychologists call self-enhancement theory.
Self-enhancement. Meaning we're motivated to see ourselves positively.
Deeply motivated. We want to feel unique, maybe even a bit superior, certainly not inferior. Feeling special feels good.
That makes intuitive sense, wanting to feel good about ourselves. But if the facts often don't back it up, how does our brain actually pull this off? What's the trick?
It seems to rely on a couple of key cognitive shortcuts. Or you could say mental tricks.
Okay, like what?
First, there's egocentrism. When you're asked to compare yourself to an average person, you tend to focus almost entirely on your own qualities, your skills, your efforts.
And you don't really think much about what others are actually like.
Exactly. You neglect to really consider the other side of the comparison properly. You overweight your own data.
So step one, focus heavily on my own awesome self.
Yeah.
Got it. What's step two? How do I win the comparison?
Ah, that's the second shortcut. Using generalized groups.
Generalized groups.
Yeah. Instead of comparing yourself to like a true random sample of people.
Right.
Your brain substitutes a much smaller, often non-representative group, maybe someone specific who isn't great at that thing.
So if I'm asked if I'm hardworking, I might unconsciously picture my colleague who's always late or my uncle who loves his sofa.
Precisely. You cherry pick a comparison group, maybe unconsciously, that makes you look good. Makes you look unique.
You've basically rigged the game in your own head.
Sort of, yes. It's an efficient, if biased, way to maintain that positive self-view.
Fascinating. And the article mentioned something about gender differences.
It did, yeah. A small point, but interesting. Research suggests men might show this bias for both positive physical and social traits.
Okay.
Whereas women tend to show it a bit more strongly just for positive social traits. Things like being cooperative or ethical.
Interesting. Maybe reflecting some societal expectations there.
Possibly. It's complex, but it shows the bias isn't uniform.
So putting this all together, the egocentrism, the biased comparisons, it really makes you think about how far our perception of ourselves can drift from reality.
Absolutely. And there's a stark example cited in the source material, that classic seizure experiment.
Oh, tell me about that.
Well, researchers simulated someone having a seizure to see who would help. In one setup, 11 out of 15 bystanders actually didn't intervene. They didn't help.
11 out of 15? Wow.
Yeah. But here's the kicker. When you ask people later, hypothetically, what would you do in that situation?
Everyone says they'd help.
Overwhelmingly, yes. Almost everyone is completely certain they would have been the one person, the unique individual, to step up.
That's quite a disconnect.
Yeah.
It shows just how strong that belief in our own unique goodness is, even against evidence of typical human behavior.
It really does. It highlights that gap between how we see ourselves as uniquely capable or moral and how we, you know, might actually behave in a group.
So the final thought for people listening, maybe question that feeling of uniqueness sometimes.
Maybe just pause and consider. When you feel uniquely good at something positive, Could you name three other people you genuinely think are just as good?
A reality check.
It can be a simple way to just, counterbalance this very natural, very human bias. It's not about thinking you're not good,
Right.
but maybe acknowledging that goodness might be more common than your brain initially wants you to believe.
That's a great practical takeaway.
Yeah.
That's all for this episode. Thanks for tuning in.